93.3 KDKB Rocks, Arizona. Beastie Boys, Sabotage, Friday afternoon. Neanderthal screwing around with a Valley resident, listener of the radio station, and he just happens to be the bass player for the world state-of-the-art speed metal band Megadeth. Remember those? Remember that phrase? That poster? The world state-of-the-art speed metal band.
I remember. That was a manager who came up with that. Yeah. He was our first, one of our first managers. The world state-of-the-art speed metal band.
David Ellefson, welcome to the studios. Now, you have a brand new book called My Life with Death, and we've been talking about it off the air. For those of you that don't have it yet, it's, first of all, bathroom read. I mean, it's not very thick.
Which I like. You know, they usually come in at around 300 pages. I think, what is mine, 276, something like that.
Somewhere
you know?
Around there, yeah.
Well, and you know, these books should be good bathroom read. You know what I mean? And they
no,
should
it
be.
It is. It's just an easy book to read.
They should be. And it's funny, you know why? Because I actually ran their manuscript past Dave Mustaine, you know,
well,
my
do
partner.
Do we give you the name drop? Okay.
I stand 10 feet from him most of my life.
All right.
It's okay.
So.
All right. It's not a name drop. But, you know, he had written his book, and I wanted him to read it and go through it. And one of the things he came back to me, and it wasn't a finished manuscript at that point, and we went through a couple of chronological things with it. But one thing he did say, he goes, man, just make sure that your chapters are short so you can put it down in case people want to pick it back up. And it was funny because I was reading the Keith Richards book at the time, and I went, man, is that a... Him, I don't know, but his book is it's amazing the detail that he has of early things when he was a kid and the war in England and these kind of things. Yet, man, the story is on and on and on. Of course, I think probably like most of us when you read a Keith Richards book, let's get to the good stuff, right? The famous
right.
Rolling Stone stories. So kind of get to the middle. But I used those things as a benchmark actually when I wrote my book that it would. Flow easy, be an easy read, be a quick read, and actually, as we always do in showbiz, you know, don't bore them to the end. Leave a little left so that they want to come back for more.
Yeah,
so.
and it's like I said, it's a good read, it's an easy read, and I'm learning things about you that having you know, you and I have met each other several times over the past two decades, and things like I never knew how messed up you really were. You get into that, and you're pretty honest about it.
Yeah.
About, I mean, you didn't think that you liked drugs until you tried drugs, and then you really liked drugs.
Yeah, once you try them, you like them. That's the problem with them. And then they have this innate way of telling you how you can't live your life without them. And, of course, that was the moment that I came to. And I was fortunate. I was young. I mean, I was 25 when I got cleaned up. And from about 23 to, you know, 23, 24 years of age, 88, 89, we wrote a record called Rust in Peace, which
right.
a lot of our fans really like, and we wrote it in some pretty dark days, and fortunately got cleaned up and then recorded that record, so we were able to record it with exact precision and bump the tempos up, and, you know, by many hailed as the quintessential thrash metal, speed metal record, you know, of that day, but, you know, when we wrote it, it was dark days, and that was really the end of it for me. And especially to walk off the stage of now it's called the Download Festival,
right?
But back then it was
Donington?
Castle Donington, yeah. And it was the biggest one that they ever had, 107,000 people. And in fact, a couple people actually got killed in the audience. It was too big.
Is that the one where the guns and the people got killed
exactly,
during the Guns N'
yeah,
Roses set
yeah.
while they were doing the video for Paradise City?
I don't know if they were shooting video there. They did shoot video when they came in on the plane
yeah.
and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we were on tour with Iron Maiden here in America. And then we went over and we did Donington. And it was, I mean, that for a metalhead is, especially in that day, that was the festival. There
now,
weren't that many festivals, and that was the one.
And now it's Wacken, right? That one in Germany is the one that everybody goes nuts over?
It is, you know, honestly, I mean, that one's big, yeah, for sure. That I guess is probably the, you know, because it's in Germany and it's metal and
right.
it's all that kind of stuff.
Of course,
you know?
People don't have metal.
Yeah. But to play that festival and in the state that I was in, which was not good, that was the end of it for me. Unfortunately, that was, you know, I came home or back to L.A. where I lived at the time, and that was when I had to really make the changes and get it together. And that was the question, is it's like, do I even want to play not loaded? And the moment came to me where I was like, you know what, I started playing when I was 11 years old, and
right.
I hadn't tasted any or tried anything, and I loved it. I got into rock and roll just because I love rock and roll, you know. And that was really a defining moment for me where I went, wait a minute, that's the reason I got into it. It wasn't for all these other things. These other things have become the distractions that have, quite honestly, have almost ruined my career, ruined the band. So fortunately, I was able to pull out of it. A lot don't, and I'm very lucky I was able to get out of all that.
His book is called My Life with Death. You can go pick it up at Changing Hands tonight. You're going to be doing a signing starting right around 6 o'clock or so.
Yep, exactly.
And do that. David Ellefson joining me here in the studio. Can you hang around for a while? I want to talk more.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. We'll get some commercials out of the way. We'll be back with David Ellefson at 93.3 KDKB.
Neanderthal, 93.3 KDKB.
93.3 KDKB Rocks Arizona. Still, I know you're thinking, why are you playing a Nirvana song? You've got David Ellefson from Megadeth in the studio. Yes, I do. He's got a brand new book called My Life with Death. He's going to be signing it tonight over at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe, so check out kdkb.com for details on that. Dave, a lot of people have speculated, because your book is not very thick, that you, and you just said you had David Mustaine read that. Are there parts of the book that he wouldn't let you talk about or you couldn't talk about?
No, he was cool with everything. And, you know, my attitude with it is, obviously, it's my life story. There's certainly a big part of it is the Megadeth story.
Right.
And some of the characters that came and went through the Megadeth story in the Megadeth years, you know, there's some probably stuff that shouldn't be disclosed. You know, so I thought about, okay, you know, if you know, you and me are in the room, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, I have the right to say I was participating in it, but I don't have the right to say you were participating in it.
And except for a very, very famous experience that's been written about in song with Motley Crue. First of all, the idea that you hung out with Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses might be a little shocking to a lot of people, because all of those guys sort of in a roundabout way were part of the Penelope Spheris movie.
Yeah.
And I always thought the one band that didn't really fit in with the rest of the bands that were in that documentary was Megadeth. I didn't know you were friends with those guys. You were at the party that that gave birth to Kickstart My Heart.
Yeah, where Nicky died. Yeah. Well, we
You see him dead?
I didn't see him dead, but well, so it's in the book, okay. And again, here I wrote about it because Nicky already wrote a book called The Heroin Diary, so he disclosed all of it, you know. But yeah, so the thing was, me and Steven Adler from Guns, we were buddies, and we had some, you know, party favors in mind that we enjoyed sharing together.
You say you're hanging with Steven Adler, people know exactly what's
exactly
going on.
Exactly. So anyway, and Steven's got a book, so I'm sure it's in there, too.
So
we all got books, so it's like, God, I'll check it in the book, you know. Because if it's in the book, it's legal, it's been cleared, and we're all good, you know. But he calls me up. He's at the Franklin Plaza, and he says, yeah, come on over. And I think we just got back in town from a tour, so we went over there. And actually, he broke his arm, and they were playing two nights up at in Pasadena. What was the name of that theater? There's a theater up there that we had played at. And they were playing like two or three nights, and Fred Curry was filling in on drums from Cinderella.
Right.
Because Steven broke his arm. So Steven's kind of sidelined, but we're all hanging out. We're, you know, having our little party fun. Next thing you know, Slash and Nicky come barging in the door. You know, trash. Rah, 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 you know, their whole thing.
And Nicky Six.
Yeah.
Inebriated. Because those guys are drunk.
I think Guns was on tour with Nicky, and so it was this whole connection, right? So anyway, that thing goes down. Next thing you know, they leave. And I'm like, well, that's probably a little more peaceful now that they're gone. And they went next door. Next thing, the girl comes running in. Oh, my God, get the eyes. Nicky's dead. You know, this whole thing going on. And you hear the helicopters and in the air, and you hear sirens, and I mean, it's, you know, it gets going on. And, you know, Fred Curry says to me, he goes, you got a car, get me out of here. And so we get in the car and we drive him over to the Hyatt and check him in. And, you know, but yeah, it was a little bit of a, you know, it was one of those nights. And as Nicky, you know, of course, went on to talk about in his story, that was in his darkest days. And the irony of that story is that about 9 months later, I was in a similar position, not dead, but certainly in my, you know, at the bottom. And he actually came to see me and called me up and kind of shared his story of how he came out of that and how he got clean. And obviously Motley went on to do Dr. Feelgood, which was probably their biggest record and had huge success. So in a lot of ways, seeing Nicky go through that and come out of that was an inspiration for me to get clean. And then for the last, you know, 23 years, we've had our biggest years in Megadeth and big success. And so it just goes to show the old sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing. You know, you have to remember that on this side of the stage, we're actually there to play for you and we're there to entertain. And we need to have our act together. So it was a good lesson to learn young, and something that I'm happy to report in the book. A lot of us have learned young. Steven's doing good. Nicky's doing great, obviously. So we went through these things, but, you know, that which doesn't kill you, as they say, you know, only makes you want to die, or I don't know what it does.
makes you stronger. There you go.
Yep.
Now, do you see anything in that sort of next generation? Because we were just talking about this off the air. You've taken a lot of these bands like Stone Temple Pilots and bands out on the road. Do you see another generation of bands similar to what, you know, the Big Four and all these other metal bands have done? Do you see them sort of either patterning their careers after what came before them, or are they taking a different path now?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's funny you came out of a Nirvana song because, you know, that was a dark scene, the Seattle scene, musically, you
right.
know. And, you know, there's, what, you know, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Alice in Chains, maybe. Alice in Chains is probably kind of the more metal of those bands.
Soundgarden.
You know, Nirvana doesn't exist anymore. So, I mean, a lot of these bands, some of the one or two of the key bands just don't exist anymore. And when we did those big four shows of Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, I mean, we really, as we're standing there in those stadiums, I'm looking at it going, you know, we're kind of the last of an era where four bands all came out at the same time, had big success. We did the same genre, but we all did something different. Yet we're very connected between us. And
still together.
Still together.
Most importantly, still
exactly,
together.
Exactly, and still together. And so it's, I can't think of another one since then, quite honestly, that you know, there was, you know, in the era of Korn and like we talked about.
Yeah, the new metal stuff.
New metal stuff, Cold Chamber and whatnot. They're not around. So that the Big Four is a really special thing because it was a moment in time. It's a moment in time that got to happen 30 years later, like it did a couple years ago. And it's kind of the only one of its kind. And, you know, a lot of these groups, you know, you talk too about, you know, bands that follow in our footsteps, you know, speaking back to the lifestyle thing, you know, when I was going through all that stuff back in the late 80s, you know, by the late 80s, people were sick of it. The music business was not going to put a lot of money behind a bunch of drunk and incapacitated people anymore. They just weren't going to do it. And it forced people to grow up and get their act together and you know, let's focus on the rock and roll rather than the rest of it.
Well, thankfully, you're still here to tell your story. My Life with Death is now available. You can go pick it up tonight at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe. David Ellefson will be there to sign it, and I'm sure take some time to shake hands and say hello to people.
Yeah, yep. And actually, we're actually going to start out with a little Q&A, too, which I like. I've done it at some of my bass clinics before, and it's fun, you know, to kind of, I guess somebody probably from the store will chat a little bit, ask a few questions, answer a few questions, take a few questions, and do some of that kind of stuff. Because these things, you know, these are, it's fun to connect with the fans, and lots of times they have questions. So we'll do a little Q&A first, and then we'll get into some autographs.
Now, I know you were, you know, obviously, you were out of the band for a while and came back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that because you have, and I don't want to use the phrase, but it applies, a second chance to sort of do this again and maybe do it the right way or do it a different way, that you do you have a much better appreciation? And is that why you're much more available to people
sure.
than you were the first time?
Without a doubt. You know, as in any gig, whatever it is, you can kind of get, you just do it day in, day out. And it can kind of burn you out, quite honestly. You know, as great of a gig as it is, it can burn you out, you know. And I think having some time away from it was good because, yeah, I do come back with an appreciation. And especially because when I came back in 2010, everything just blew up to a huge, huge level. Not just for Megadeth, but if you're talking the Big Four, thrash
sure.
metal, the whole thing. So definitely very appreciative of it, and these kind of things, we get to hang with the fans tonight and do some signing, is always a great thing.
Well, thank you for taking time to come out with us here.
You're
at KDKB.
Welcome.
It's awesome. Dave Ellefson has always been a cool guy to me. Every time we go in some places, he'll be a cool guy to you tonight. Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe. Check out KDKB.com for details on it. My Life with Death, a very fun read.
Thank you.
If not thin, slimming. So, David, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
It.
Thank you very much.
93.3 KDKB Rocks, Arizona.